Balaam said to Balak's officials, "Go on back home. The Lord says I cannot go with you." The officials left and told Balak that Balaam refused to come. Then Balak sent a larger group of officials, who were even more important than the first ones. They went to Balaam and told him that Balak had said, "Balaam, if you come to Moab, I'll pay you very well and do whatever you ask. Just come and place a curse on these people." Balaam answered, "Even if Balak offered me a palace full of silver or gold, I wouldn't do anything to disobey the Lord my God. You are welcome to spend the night here, just as the others did. I will find out if the Lord has something else to say about this." That night, God said, "Balaam, I'll let you go to Moab with Balak's messengers, but do only what I say." So Balaam got up the next morning and saddled his donkey, then left with the Moabite officials. Balaam and his donkey meet an angel. Balaam was riding his donkey to Moab, and two of his servants were with him. But God was angry that Balaam had gone, so one of the Lord's angels stood in the road to stop him. When Balaam's donkey saw the angel standing there with a sword, it walked off the road and into an open field. Balaam had to beat the donkey to get it back on the road. Then the angel stood between two vineyards in a narrow path with a stone wall on each side. When the donkey saw the angel, it walked so close to one of the walls that Balaam's foot scraped against the wall. Balaam beat the donkey again. The angel moved once more and stood in a spot so narrow that there was no room for the donkey to go around. So it just lay down. Balaam lost his temper, then picked up a stick and smacked the donkey. When that happened, the Lord told the donkey to speak, and it asked Balaam, "What have I done to you that made you beat me three times?" "You made me look stupid," Balaam answered. "If I had a sword, I'd kill you here and now." "But you're my owner," replied the donkey, "and you've ridden me many times. Have I ever done anything like this before?" "No," Balaam admitted. Just then the Lord let Balaam see the angel standing in the road, holding a sword, and Balaam bowed down. The angel said, "You had no right to treat your donkey like that. I was the one who blocked your way, because I don't think you should go to Moab. If your donkey had not seen me and stopped those three times, I would have killed you and let the donkey live." Balaam replied, "I was wrong. I didn't know you were trying to stop me. If you don't think I should go, I'll return home right now." "It's all right for you to go," the Lord's angel answered, "but you must do only what I tell you." So Balaam went on with Balak's officials. King Balak meets Balaam. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went to meet him at the town of Ur, which is on the northern border of Moab. Balak asked, "Why didn't you come when I invited you the first time? Did you think I wasn't going to pay you?" "I'm here now," Balaam answered, "but I will say only what God tells me to say." They left and went to the town of Kiriath Huzoth, where Balak sacrificed cattle and sheep and gave some of the meat to Balaam and the officials who were with him. The next morning, Balak took Balaam to the town of Bamoth Baal. From there, Balaam could see some of the Israelites. Balaam's First Message. Chapter 23. Balaam said to Balak, "Build seven altars here, Then bring 7 bulls and 7 rams. After Balak had done this, they sacrificed a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said, "Wait here beside your offerings, and I'll go somewhere to be alone. Maybe the Lord will appear to me. If he does, I will tell you everything he says." And he left. When God appeared to him, Balaam said, "I have built 7 altars and have sacrificed a bull and a ram on each one." The Lord gave Balaam a message, then sent him back to tell Balak. When Balaam returned, he found Balak and his officials standing beside the offerings. Balaam said, "King Balak of Moab brought me from the hills of Syria to curse Israel and announce its doom. But I can't go against God. He did not curse or condemn Israel. From the mountain peaks, I look down and see Israel, the obedient people of God. They are living alone, in peace, and though they are many, they don't bother the other nations. I hope to obey God for as long as I live, and to die in such peace." Balak said, "What are you doing? I asked you to come and place a curse on my enemies, but you have blessed them instead." Balaam answered, "I can say only what the Lord tells me." Balaam's second message. Balak said to Balaam, "Let's go somewhere else. Maybe if you see a smaller part of the Israelites, you will be able to curse them for me." So he took Balaam to a field on top of Mount Pisgah, where lookouts were stationed. Then he built 7 altars there and sacrificed a bull and a ram on each one. "Wait here beside your offerings," Balaam said. "The Lord will appear to me over there." The Lord appeared to Balaam and gave him another message. Then he told him to go and tell Balak. Balaam went back and saw him and his officials standing beside the offerings. Balak asked, "What did the Lord say?" Balaam answered, "Pay close attention to my words. God is no mere human. He doesn't tell lies or change his mind. God always keeps his promises. My command from God was to bless these people, and there's nothing I can do to change what he has done. Israel's king is the Lord God. He lives there with them and intends them no harm. With the strength of a wild ox, God led Israel out of Egypt. No magic charms can work against them. Just look what God has done for his people. They are like angry lions ready to attack, and they won't rest until their victim is gobbled down." Balak shouted, "If you're not going to curse Israel, then at least don't bless them." "I've already told you," Balaam answered. "I will say only what the Lord tells me." Balaam's third message. Balak said to Balaam, "Come on, let's try another place. Maybe God will let you curse Israel from there." So he took Balaam to Mount Peor, overlooking the desert north of the Dead Sea. Balaam said, "Build 7 altars here, then bring me 7 bulls and 7 rams. After Balak had done what Balaam asked, he sacrificed a bull and a ram on each altar. Chapter 24. Balaam was sure that the Lord would tell him to bless Israel again, so he did not use any magic to find out what the Lord wanted him to do, as he had the first 2 times. Instead, he looked out toward the desert and saw the tribes of Israel camped below. Just then, God's Spirit took control of him, and Balaam said, "I am the son of Beor, and my words are true, so listen to my message. It comes from the Lord, the God all-powerful. I bowed down to him and saw a vision of Israel. People of Israel, your camp is lovely. It's like a grove of palm trees or a garden beside a river. You are like tall aloe trees that the Lord has planted, or like cedars growing near water. You and your descendants will prosper like an orchard beside a stream. Your king will rule with power and be a greater king than Agag the Amalekite. With the strength of a wild ox, God led you out of Egypt. You will defeat your enemies, shooting them with arrows and crushing their bones. Like a lion you lie down, resting after an attack. Who would dare disturb you? Anyone who blesses you will be blessed. Anyone who curses you will be cursed. When Balak heard this, he was so furious that he pounded his fist against his hand and said, I called you here to place a curse on my enemies, and you've blessed them 3 times. Leave now and go home. I told you I would pay you well, but since the Lord didn't let you do what I asked, you won't be paid. Balaam answered, I told your messengers that even if you offered me a palace full of silver or gold, I would still obey the Lord. And I explained that I would say only what he told me. So I'm going back home, but I'm leaving you with a warning about what the Israelites will someday do to your nation. Balaam's fourth message. Balaam said, I am the son of Beor, and my words are true, so listen to my message. My knowledge comes from God Most High, the Lord All-Powerful. I bowed down to him and saw a vision of Israel. What I saw in my vision hasn't happened yet, but someday a king of Israel will appear like a star. He will wipe out you Moabites and destroy those tribes who live in the desert. Israel will conquer Edom and capture the land of that enemy nation. The king of Israel will rule and destroy the survivors of every town there. And I saw this vision about the Amalekites. Their nation is now great, but it will someday disappear forever. And this is what I saw about the Kenites. They think they're safe, living among the rocks, but they will be wiped out when Assyria conquers them. No one can survive if God plans destruction. Ships will come from Cyprus, bringing people who will invade the lands of Assyria and Eber. But finally, Cyprus itself will be ruined. After Balaam finished, he started home, and Balak also left. The Israelites worship Baal. Chapter 25. While the Israelites were camped at Acacia, some of the men had sex with Moabite women. These women then invited the men to ceremonies where sacrifices were offered to their gods. The men ate the meat from the sacrifices and worshipped the Moabite gods. The Lord was angry with Israel because they had worshipped the god Baal Peor. So he said to Moses, Take the Israelite leaders who are responsible for this and have them killed in front of my sacred tent where everyone can see. Maybe then I will stop being angry with the Israelites. Moses told Israel's officials, Each of you must put to death any of your men who worshipped Baal. Later, Moses and the people were at the sacred tent, crying, when one of the Israelite men brought a Midianite woman to meet his family. Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron the priest, saw the couple and left the crowd. He found a spear and followed the man into his tent, where he ran the spear through the man and into the woman's stomach. The Lord immediately stopped punishing Israel with a deadly disease, but 24,000 Israelites had already died. The Lord said to Moses, "In my anger, I would have wiped out the Israelites if Phinehas had not been faithful to me. But instead of punishing them, I forgave them. So, because of the loyalty that Phinehas showed, I solemnly promise that he and his descendants will always be my priests." The Israelite man that was killed was Zimri, son of Salu, who was one of the leaders of the Simeon tribe. And the Midianite woman killed with him was Cozbi, the daughter of a Midianite clan leader named Zur. The Lord told Moses, "The Midianites are now enemies of Israel, so attack and defeat them. They tricked the people of Israel into worshipping their god at Peor, and they are responsible for the death of Cozbi, the daughter of one of their own leaders." The Israelites are counted a second time. Chapter 26. After the Lord had stopped the deadly disease from killing the Israelites, he said to Moses and Eleazar, son of Aaron, "I want you to find out how many Israelites are in each family, and list every man 20 years and older who is able to serve in Israel's army." Israel was now camped in the hills of Moab across the Jordan River from the town of Jericho. Moses and Eleazar told them what the Lord had said about counting the men 20 years and older, just as Moses and their ancestors had done when they left Egypt. There were 43,730 men from the tribe of Reuben, the oldest son of Jacob. These men were from the clans of Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. Palu was the father of Eliab, and the grandfather of Nemuel, Dathan, and Abiram. These are the same Dathan and Abiram who had been chosen by the people, but who followed Korah and rebelled against Moses, Aaron, and the Lord. That's when the Lord made the earth open up and swallow Dathan, Abiram, and Korah. At the same time, fire destroyed 250 men as a warning to the other Israelites. But the Korahite clan wasn't destroyed. There were 22,200 men from the tribe of Simeon. They were from the clans of Nemuel, Jamin, Jakin, Zerah, and Shael. There were 40,500 men from the tribe of Gad. They were from the clans of Zephon, Haggai, Shunai, Oznai, Eri, Arod, and Areli. There were 76,500 men from the tribe of Judah. They were from the clans of Shelah, Perez, Zerah, Hezron, and Hamul. Judah's sons, and Onan, had died in Canaan. There were 64,300 men from the tribe of Issachar. They were from the clans of Tola, Puva, Jashub, and Shimron. There were 60,500 men from the tribe of Zebulun. They were from the clans of Sered, Elon, and Jaliel. There were 52,700 men from the tribe of Manasseh, son of Joseph. They were from the clan of Maker, the clan of Gilead, his son, and the clans of his 6 grandsons, Ahiezer, Helek, Azrael, Shechem, Shemaida, and Hepher. Zelophehad, son of Hepher, had no sons, but he had 5 daughters, Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. There were 32,500 men from the tribe of Ephraim, son of Joseph. They were from the clans of Shuthila, Beker, Tahan, and Eran, the son of Shuthila. There were 45,600 men from the tribe of Benjamin. They were from the clans of Bela, Ashbel, Ahiram, Shephufam, Hupham, as well as from Ard and Naaman, the two sons of Bela. There were 64,400 men from the tribe of Dan. They were all from the clan of Shuham. There were 53,400 men from the tribe of Asher. They were from the clans of Imnah, Ishvi, and Beriah, and from the two clans of Heber and Malkiel, the sons of Beriah. Asher's daughter was Sirah. There were 45,400 men from the tribe of Naphtali. They were from the clans of Jaziel, Guni, Jezer, and Shillem. The total number of Israelite men listed was 601,730. The Lord said to Moses, "Divide the land of Canaan among these tribes, according to the number of people in each one, so the larger tribes have more land than the smaller ones. I will show you what land to give each tribe, and they will receive as much land as they need, according to the number of people in it." The tribe of Levi included the clans of the Gershonites, Kohathites, Merarites, as well as the clans of Libni, Hebron, Mahli, Mushi, and Korah. Kohath the Levite was the father of Amram, the husband of Levi's daughter, Jochebed, who was born in Egypt. Amram and Jochebed's three children were Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. Aaron was the father of Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu had died when they offered fire that was unacceptable to the Lord. In the tribe of Levi, there were 23,000 men and boys at least a month old. They were not listed with the other tribes because they would not receive any land in Canaan. Moses and Eleazar counted the Israelites while they were camped in the hills of Moab across the Jordan River from Jericho. None of the people that Moses and Aaron had counted in the Sinai desert were still alive, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. The Lord had said that everyone else would die there in the desert. The daughters of Zelophehad are given land. Chapter 27. Zelophehad was from the Manasseh tribe, and he had five daughters, whose names were Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. One day his daughters went to the sacred tent, where they met with Moses, Eleazar, and some other leaders of Israel, as well as a large crowd of Israelites. The young women said, "You know that our father died in the desert, but it was for something he did wrong, not for joining with Korah in rebelling against the Lord. Our father left no sons to carry on his family name, but why should his name die out for that reason? Give us some land like the rest of his relatives in our clan, so our father's name can live on." Moses asked the Lord what should be done, and the Lord answered, "Zelophehad's daughters are right. They should each be given part of the land their father would have received. Tell the Israelites that when a man dies without a son, his daughter will inherit his land. If he has no daughter, his brothers will inherit the land. But if he has no brothers, his father's brothers will inherit the land. And if his father has no brothers, the land must be given to his nearest relative in the clan. This is my law, and the Israelites must obey it." Joshua is appointed Israel's leader. The Lord said to Moses, "One day you will go up into the Abarim Mountains, and from there you will see the land I am giving the Israelites. After you have seen it, you will die, just like your brother Aaron, because both of you disobeyed me at Meribah, near the town of Kadesh in the Zin Desert. When the Israelites insulted me there, you didn't believe in my holy power." Moses replied, "You are the Lord God, and you know what is in everyone's heart. So I ask you to appoint a leader for Israel. Your people need someone to lead them into battle, or else they will be like sheep wandering around without a shepherd." The Lord answered, "Joshua, son of Nun, can do the job. Place your hands on him to show that he is the one to take your place. Then go with him and have him stand in front of Eleazar the priest and the Israelites. Appoint Joshua as their new leader, and tell them they must now obey him, just as they obey you. But Joshua must depend on Eleazar to find out from me what I want him to do as he leads Israel into battle." Moses followed the Lord's instructions and took Joshua to Eleazar and the people. Then he placed his hands on Joshua and appointed him Israel's leader. Regular Daily Sacrifices. Chapter 28. The Lord told Moses to say to the people of Israel, "Offer sacrifices to me at the appointed times of worship, so that I will smell the smoke and be pleased. Each day, offer 2 rams a year old as sacrifices to please me. The animals must have nothing wrong with them. One will be sacrificed in the morning and the other in the evening. Along with each of them, 2 pounds of your finest flour, mixed with 1 quart of olive oil, must be offered as a grain sacrifice. This sacrifice to please me was first offered on Mount Sinai. Finally, along with each of these 2 sacrifices, 1 quart of wine must be poured on the altar as a drink offering. The 2nd ram will be sacrificed that evening, along with the other offerings, just like the one sacrificed that morning. The smell of the smoke from these sacrifices will please me." The sacrifice on the Sabbath. The Lord said, "On the Sabbath, in addition to the regular daily sacrifices, you must sacrifice 2 rams a year old to please me. These rams must have nothing wrong with them, and they will be sacrificed with a drink offering and 4 pounds of your finest flour mixed with olive oil." The sacrifices on the first day of the month. The Lord said, "On the first day of each month, bring to the altar 2 bulls, 1 full-grown ram, and 7 rams a year old that have nothing wrong with them. Then offer these as sacrifices to please me. 6 pounds of your finest flour mixed with olive oil must be offered with each bull as a grain sacrifice. 4 pounds of flour mixed with oil must be offered with the ram, and 2 pounds of flour mixed with oil must be offered with each of the young rams. The smell of the smoke from these sacrifices will please me. Offer 2 quarts of wine as a drink offering with each bull, 1.5 quarts with the ram, and 1 quart with each of the young rams. Finally, you must offer 1 goat as a sacrifice for sin. These sacrifices are to be offered on the first day of each month, in addition to the regular daily sacrifices." The sacrifices during Passover and the Festival of Thin Bread. The Lord said, "Celebrate Passover in honor of me on the 14th day of the 1st month of each year. The following day will begin the Festival of Thin Bread, which will last for 1 week. During this time you must honor me by eating bread made without yeast. On the first day of this festival, you must rest from your work and come together for worship. Bring to the altar 2 bulls, 1 full-grown ram, and 7 rams a year old that have nothing wrong with them, and then offer these as sacrifices to please me. 6 pounds of your finest flour mixed with olive oil must be offered with each bull as a grain sacrifice. 4 pounds of flour mixed with oil must be offered with the ram, and 2 pounds of flour mixed with oil must be offered with each of the young rams. Also offer a goat as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. All of these are to be offered in addition to the regular daily sacrifices, and the smoke from them will please me. Then on the last day of the festival, you must once again rest from work and come together for worship. The sacrifices during the harvest festival. The Lord said, "On the first day of the harvest festival, you must rest from your work, come together for worship, and bring a sacrifice of new grain. Offer 2 young bulls, 1 full-grown ram, and 7 rams a year old as sacrifices to please me. 6 pounds of your finest flour mixed with olive oil must be offered with each bull as a grain sacrifice. 4 pounds of flour mixed with oil must be offered with the ram, and 2 pounds of flour mixed with oil must be offered with each of the young rams. Also offer a goat as a sacrifice for sin. The animals must have nothing wrong with them, and are to be sacrificed along with the regular daily sacrifices. The sacrifices at the Festival of Trumpets. The Lord said, Chapter 29, "On the first day of the 7th month, you must rest from your work, and come together to celebrate at the sound of the trumpets. Bring to the altar 1 bull, 1 full-grown ram, and 7 rams a year old that have nothing wrong with them. And then offer these as sacrifices to please me. 6 pounds of your finest flour mixed with olive oil must be offered with the bull as a grain sacrifice. 4 pounds of flour mixed with oil must be offered with the ram, and 2 pounds of flour mixed with oil must be offered with each of the young rams. You must also offer a goat as a sacrifice for sin. These sacrifices will be made in addition to the regular daily sacrifices and the sacrifices for the first day of the month. The smoke from these sacrifices will please me." The sacrifices on the great day of forgiveness. The Lord said, "The 10th day of the 7th month is the great day of forgiveness. On that day you must rest from all work and come together for worship. Show sorrow for your sins by going without food, and bring to the altar 1 young bull, 1 full-grown ram, and 7 rams a year old that have nothing wrong with them. Then offer these as sacrifices to please me. 6 pounds of your finest flour mixed with olive oil must be offered with the bull as a grain sacrifice. 4 pounds of flour mixed with oil must be offered with the ram, and 2 pounds of flour mixed with oil must be offered with each of the young rams. A goat must also be sacrificed for the sins of the people. You will offer these sacrifices in addition to the sacrifice to ask forgiveness and the regular daily sacrifices." The sacrifices during the Festival of Shelters. The Lord said, "Beginning on the 15th day of the 7th month, and continuing for 7 days, everyone must celebrate the Festival of Shelters in honor of me. On the first day, you must rest from your work and come together for worship. Bring to the altar 13 bulls, 2 full-grown rams, and 14 rams a year old that have nothing wrong with them. Then offer these as sacrifices to please me. 6 pounds of your finest flour mixed with olive oil must be offered with each bull as a grain sacrifice. 4 pounds of flour mixed with oil must be offered with each of the rams, and 2 pounds of flour mixed with oil must be offered with each of the young rams. You must also offer a goat as a sacrifice for sin. These are to be offered in addition to the regular daily sacrifices. For the next 6 days of the festival, you will sacrifice 1 less bull than the day before, so that on the 7th day, 7 bulls will be sacrificed. The other sacrifices and offerings must remain the same for each of these days. On the 8th day, you must once again rest from your work and come together for worship. Bring to the altar one bull, one full-grown ram, and 7 rams a year old that have nothing wrong with them. Then offer these as sacrifices to please me. You must also offer the proper grain sacrifices and drink offerings of wine with each animal, and offer a goat as the sacrifice to ask forgiveness for the people. These sacrifices are made in addition to the regular daily sacrifices. You must offer all these sacrifices to me at the appointed times of worship, together with any offerings that are voluntarily given or given because of a promise. Moses told the people of Israel everything the Lord had told him about the sacrifices. Making Promises to the Lord. Chapter 30. The Lord told Moses to say to Israel's tribal leaders, "When one of you men makes a promise to the Lord, you must keep your word. Suppose a young woman who is still living with her parents makes a promise to the Lord. If her father hears about it and says nothing, she must keep her promise. But if he hears about it and objects, then she no longer has to keep her promise. The Lord will forgive her because her father did not agree with the promise. Suppose a woman makes a promise to the Lord and then gets married. If her husband later hears about the promise but says nothing, she must do what she said, whether she meant it or not. But if her husband hears about the promise and objects, she no longer has to keep it, and the Lord will forgive her. Widows and divorced women must keep every promise they make to the Lord. Suppose a married woman makes a promise to the Lord. If her husband hears about the promise and says nothing, she must do what she said. But if he hears about the promise and does object, she no longer has to keep it. The Lord will forgive her because her husband would not allow her to keep the promise. Her husband has the final say about any promises she makes to the Lord. If her husband hears about a promise and says nothing about it for a whole day, she must do what she said. Since he did not object, the promise must be kept. But if he waits until the next day to stop her from keeping her promise, he is the one who must be punished." These are the laws that the Lord gave Moses about husbands and wives, and about young daughters who still live at home. Israel's War Against Midian. Chapter 31. The Lord said to Moses, "Before you die, make sure that the Midianites are punished for what they did to Israel." Then Moses told the people, "The Lord wants to punish the Midianites, so have our men prepare for battle. Each tribe will send 1,000 men to fight." 12,000 men were picked from the tribes of Israel, and after they were prepared for battle, Moses sent them off to war. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, went with them and took along some things from the sacred tent and the trumpets for sounding the battle signal. The Israelites fought against the Midianites, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. They killed all the men, including Balaam, son of Beor, and the 5 Midianite kings, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba. The Israelites captured every woman and child, then led away the Midianites' cattle and sheep, and took everything else that belonged to them. They also burned down the Midianite towns and villages. Israel's soldiers gathered together everything they had taken from the Midianites, including the captives and the animals. Then they returned to their own camp in the hills of Moab, across the Jordan River from Jericho, where Moses, Eleazar, and the other Israelite leaders met the troops outside camp. Moses became angry with the army commanders and said, "I can't believe you let the women live. They are the ones who followed Balaam's advice and invited our people to worship the god Baal Peor. That's why the Lord punished us by killing so many of our people. You must put to death every boy and all the women who have ever had sex. But do not kill the young women who have never had sex. You may keep them for yourselves." Then Moses said to the soldiers, "If you killed anyone or touched a dead body, you are unclean and have to stay outside the camp for 7 days. On the 3rd and 7th days, You must go through a ceremony to make yourselves and your captives clean. Then wash your clothes and anything made from animal skin, goat's hair, or wood." Eliezer then explained, "If you need to purify something that won't burn, such as gold, silver, bronze, iron, tin, or lead, you must first place it in a hot fire. After you take it out, sprinkle it with the water that purifies. Everything else should only be sprinkled with the water. Do all of this just as the Lord commanded Moses. Wash your clothes on the seventh day, and after that you will be clean and may return to the camp." Everything taken from the Midianites is divided. The Lord told Moses, "Make a list of everything taken from the Midianites, including the captives and the animals. Then divide them between the soldiers and the rest of the people. Eliezer the priest and the family leaders will help you. From the half that belongs to the soldiers, set aside for the Lord one out of every 500 people or animals, and give these to Eliezer. From the half that belongs to the people, set aside one out of every 50, and give these to the Levites in charge of the sacred tent." Moses and Eliezer followed the Lord's instructions and listed everything that had been taken from the Midianites. The list included 675,000 sheep and goats, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, and 32,000 young women who had never had sex. Each half included 337,500 sheep and goats, 36,000 cattle, 30,500 donkeys, and 16,000 young women. From the half that belonged to the soldiers, Moses counted out 675 sheep and goats, 72 cattle, 61 donkeys, and 32 women, and gave them to Eliezer to be dedicated to the Lord. Then, from the half that belonged to the people, Moses set aside one out of every 50 animals and women, as the Lord had said, and gave them to the Levites. The army commanders went to Moses and said, "Sir, we have counted our troops and not one soldier is missing. So we want to give the Lord all the gold jewelry we took from the Midianites. It's our gift to him for watching over us and our troops." Moses and Eliezer accepted the jewelry from the commanders, and its total weight was over 400 pounds. This did not include the things that the soldiers had kept for themselves. So Moses and Eliezer placed the gold in the Lord's sacred tent to remind Israel of what had happened. Land east of the Jordan River is settled. Chapter 32. The tribes of Reuben and Gad owned a lot of cattle and sheep, and they saw that the regions of Jazer and Gilead had good pasture land. So they went to Moses, Eliezer, and the other leaders of Israel, and said, "The Lord has helped us capture the land around the towns of Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimra, Heshbon, Eliela, Sebam, Nebo, and Beon. That's good pasture land, and since we own cattle and sheep, would you let us stay here east of the Jordan River and have this land as our own?" Moses answered, "You mean you'd stay here while the rest of the Israelites go into battle? If you did that, it would discourage the others from crossing over into the land the Lord promised them. This is exactly what happened when I sent your ancestors from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. They went as far as Eshcol Valley, then returned and told the people that we should not enter it. The Lord became very angry, and he said that no one who was 20 years or older when they left Egypt would enter the land he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one of those people believed in the Lord's power, except Caleb and Joshua. They remained faithful to the Lord, but he was so angry with the others that he forced them to wander around in the desert 40 years. By that time, everyone who had sinned against him had died. Now you people of Reuben and Gad are doing the same thing and making the Lord even angrier. If you reject the Lord, He will once again abandon his people and leave them here in the desert, and you will be to blame." The men from Reuben and Gad replied, "Let us build places to keep our sheep and goats, and towns for our wives and children, where they can stay and be safe. Then we'll prepare to fight and lead the other tribes into battle. We will stay with them until they have settled in their own tribal lands. The land on this side of the Jordan River will be ours, so we won't expect to receive any on the other side." Moses said, "You promised that you would be ready to fight for the Lord. You also agreed to cross the Jordan and stay with the rest of the Israelites until the Lord forces our enemies out of the land. If you do these things, then after the Lord helps Israel capture the land, you can return to your own land. You will no longer have to stay with the others. But if you don't keep your promise, you will sin against the Lord and be punished. Go ahead and build towns for your wives and children, and places for your sheep and goats. Just be sure to do what you have promised." The men from Reuben and Gad answered, "Sir, we will do just what you have said. Our wives and children and sheep and cattle will stay here in the towns in Gilead. But those of us who are prepared for battle will cross the Jordan and fight for the Lord." Then Moses said to Eleazar, Joshua, and the family leaders, "Make sure that the tribes of Gad and Reuben prepare for battle and cross the Jordan River with you. If they do, then after the land is in your control, give them the region of Gilead as their tribal land. But if they break their promise, they will receive land on the other side of the Jordan, like the rest of the tribes." The tribes of Gad and Reuben replied, "We are your servants and will do whatever the Lord has commanded. We will cross the Jordan River, ready to fight for the Lord in Canaan. But the land we will inherit as our own will be on this side of the river." So Moses gave the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and half of Manasseh the territory and towns that King Sihon the Amorite had ruled, as well as the territory and towns that King Og of Bashan had ruled. The tribe of Gad rebuilt the towns of Dibon, Ataroth, Aroer, Atroth-Shophan, Jazer, Jogbaha, Beth-Nimra, and Beth-Haran. They built walls around them and also built places to keep their sheep and goats. The tribe of Reuben rebuilt Heshbon, Elealeh, Kiriathaim, Sibmah, as well as the towns that used to be known as Nebo and Baal-Meon. They renamed all those places. The clan of Maker from the tribe of East Manasseh went to the region of Gilead, captured its towns, and forced out the Amorites. So Moses gave the Makerites the region of Gilead, and they settled there. Jair from the Manasseh tribe captured villages and renamed them Villages of Jair. Noba captured the town of Kenath with its villages and renamed it Noba. Israel's Journey from Egypt to Moab. Chapter 33. As Israel traveled from Egypt under the command of Moses and Aaron, Moses kept a list of the places they camped, just as the Lord had instructed. Here is the record of their journey. Israel left the Egyptian city of Ramesses on the 15th day of the first month. This was the day after the Lord had punished Egypt's gods by killing the firstborn sons in every Egyptian family. So while the Egyptians were burying the bodies, they watched the Israelites proudly leave their country. After the Israelites left Ramesses, they camped at Succoth, and from there they moved their camp to Etham, on the edge of the desert. Then they turned back toward Pi-Hahiroth, east of Baal-Zephon, and camped near Migdol. They left Pi-Hahiroth, crossed the Red Sea, then walked 3 days into the Etham desert, and camped at Mara. Next they camped at Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. They left Elim and camped near the Red Sea, then turned east and camped along the western edge of the Sinai Desert. From there they went to Dophka, Elish, and Rephidim, where they had no water. They left Rephidim and finally reached the Sinai Desert. As Israel traveled from the Sinai Desert to Kadesh in the Zin Desert, they camped at Kibroth Hatteava, Hazeroth, Rithma, Rimmon Perez, Libna, Rissa, Kehelatha, Mount Shefer, Hereda, Machiloth, Tahath, Tira, Mithka, Hashmona, Mosiroth, Binajaikan, Hor-Hagidgad, Jotbatha, Abrona, Ezion-Geber, and finally Kadesh. When they left Kadesh, they came to Mount Hor on the border of Edom. That's where the Lord commanded Aaron the priest to go to the top of the mountain. Aaron died there on the first day of the fifth month, 40 years after the Israelites left Egypt. He was 123 years old at the time. It was then that the Canaanite king of Arad, who lived in the southern desert of Canaan, heard that Israel was headed that way. The Israelites left Mount Hor and headed toward Moab. Along the way, they camped at Zalmona, Punon, Oboth, Ai Abarim, in the territory of Moab, Dibon Gad, Almon Diblathaim, at a place near Mount Nebo in the Abarim Mountains, and finally in the lowlands of Moab across the Jordan River from Jericho. Their camp stretched from Beth Jeshimoth to Acacia. The Lord's Command to Conquer Canaan. While Israel was camped in the lowlands of Moab across the Jordan River from Jericho, the Lord told Moses to give the people of Israel this message. When you cross the Jordan River and enter Canaan, you must force out the people living there. Destroy their idols and tear down their altars. Then settle in the land. I have given it to you as your own. I will show you how to divide the land among the tribes, according to the number of clans in each one, so that the larger tribes will have more land than the smaller ones. If you don't force out all the people there, they will be like pointed sticks in your eyes and thorns in your back. They will always be trouble for you, and I will treat you as cruelly as I planned on treating them. Israel's Borders, Chapter 34. The Lord told Moses to tell the people of Israel that their land in Canaan would have the following borders. The southern border will be the Zin Desert and the northwest part of Edom. This border will begin at the south end of the Dead Sea. It will go west from there, but will turn southward to include Scorpion Pass, the village of Zin, and the town of Kadesh Barnea. From there, the border will continue to Hazar Adar and on to Asmon. It will run along the Egyptian Gorge and end at the Mediterranean Sea. The western border will be the Mediterranean Sea. The northern border will begin at the Mediterranean, then continue eastward to Mount Hor. After that, it will run to Libo Hamath and across to Zedad, which is the northern edge of your land. From Zedad, the border will continue east to Ziphron and end at Hazar Enan. The eastern border will begin at Hazar Enan in the north, then run south to Shepham and on down to Ribla, on the east side of Ain. From there, it will go south to the eastern hills of Lake Galilee. Then follow the Jordan River down to the north end of the Dead Sea. The land within those four borders will belong to you. Then Moses told the people, "You will receive the land inside these borders. It will be yours, but the Lord has commanded you to divide it among the 9.5 tribes. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh have already been given their land across from Jericho, east of the Jordan River." The leaders who will divide the land. The Lord said to Moses, "Eleazar the priest and Joshua son of Nun will divide the land for the Israelites. One leader from each tribe will help them. And here is the list of their names. Caleb, son of Jephunneh from Judah. Shemuel, son of Ammihud from Simeon. Eliadad, son of Kislon from Benjamin. Bucki, son of Joglai from Dan. Haniel, son of Ephod, from Manasseh. Kemuel, son of Shiftan, from Ephraim. Elizaphan, son of Parnak, from Zebulun. Paltiel, son of Azan, from Issachar. Ahihud, son of Shalomai, from Asher. And Pedahel, son of Ammihud, from Naphtali." These are the men the Lord commanded to help Eleazar and Joshua divide the land for the Israelites. The Towns for the Levites. Chapter 35. While the people of Israel were still camped in the lowlands of Moab across the Jordan River from Jericho, the Lord told Moses to say to them, "When you receive your tribal lands, you must give towns and pastures to the Levi tribe. That way, the Levites will have towns to live in and pastures for their animals. The pasture around each of these towns must be in the shape of a square, with the town itself in the center. The pasture is to measure 3,000 feet on each side, with 1,500 feet of land outside each of the town walls. This will be the Levites' pasture land. 6 of the towns you give them will be safe towns, where a person who has accidentally killed someone can run for protection. But you will also give the Levites 42 other towns, so they will have a total of 48 towns with their surrounding pastures. Since the towns for the Levites must come from Israel's own tribal lands, the larger tribes will give more towns than the smaller ones. The safe towns. The Lord then told Moses to tell the people of Israel, "After you have crossed the Jordan River and are settled in Canaan, choose safe towns where a person who has accidentally killed someone can run for protection. If the victim's relatives think it was murder, they might try to take revenge. Anyone accused of murder can run to one of these safe towns for protection and not be killed before a trial is held. There are to be 6 of these safe towns, 3 on each side of the Jordan River. They will be places of protection for anyone who lives in Israel and accidentally kills someone." Laws about murder and accidental killing. The Lord said, "Suppose you hit someone with a piece of iron or a large stone or a dangerous wooden tool. If that person dies, then you are a murderer and must be put to death by one of the victim's relatives. He will take revenge for his relative's death as soon as he finds you. Or suppose you get angry and kill someone by pushing or hitting or by throwing something. You are a murderer and must be put to death by one of the victim's relatives. But if you are not angry and accidentally kill someone in any of these ways, the townspeople must hold a trial and decide if you are guilty. If they decide that you are innocent, you will be protected from the victim's relative and sent to stay in one of the safe towns until the high priest dies. But if you ever leave the safe town and are killed by the victim's relative, he cannot be punished for killing you. You must stay inside the town until the high priest dies. Only then can you go back home. The community of Israel must always obey these laws. Death is the penalty for murder. But no one accused of murder can be put to death unless there are at least two witnesses to the crime. You cannot give someone money to escape the death penalty. You must pay with your own life. And if you have been proven innocent of murder and are living in a safe town, you cannot pay to go back home. You must stay there until the high priest dies. I, the Lord, live among you people of Israel, so your land must be kept pure. But when a murder takes place, blood pollutes the land, and it becomes unclean. If that happens, the murderer must be put to death, so the land will be clean again. Keep murder out of Israel. The Laws About Married Women and Land. Chapter 36. One day the family leaders from the Gilead clan of the Manasseh tribe went to Moses and the other family leaders of Israel and said, "Sir, the Lord has said that he will show what land each tribe will receive as their own. And the Lord has commanded you to give the daughters of our relative Zelophehad the land that he would have received. But if they marry men from other tribes of Israel, the land they receive will become part of that tribe's inheritance and will no longer belong to us. Even when land is returned to its original owner in the year of celebration, we will not get back Zelophehad's land. It will belong to the tribe into which his daughters married." So Moses told the people that the Lord had said, "These men from the Manasseh tribe are right. I will allow Zelophehad's daughters to marry anyone as long as those men belong to one of the clans of the Manasseh tribe. Tribal land must not be given to another tribe. It will remain the property of the tribe that received it. In the future,